Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Hey, what's going on there, pal?
We saw you at the hockey game on.
Do I know you guys?
I'm Ryan Whitney. I got a drink named after me.
Not a big deal.
Pink Whitney? That's what I thought. See you, fellas.
I invented the thing, you pigeon.
Pink Whitney for legendary moments.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor store on Amazon and get yours today. On today's Part of My Take, a little grit week extra, we got Coach Rich Bisaccia, now special teams coach for the Packers, was the interim head coach for the Raiders last year. Great interview with him, all-time football guy, through and through. We also have Mount Rushmore of line. What do we have? Bad ideas. Mount Rushmore, bad ideas. We just did two Mount Rushmores, so I got confused. Mount Rushmore, bad ideas. With a bonus, Will Zalatoris watching the last hole live during the Mount Rushmore segment. We have Who's Back of the Week.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. Oh.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by Game Time. Go right now, log in, create a login, and redeem code PMT for $20 off your first ticket purchase. Today is Monday, August 15th. And Will Zalatoris has finally done it.
Congrats, Will. Very proud of you. He also got a tweet from Adam Sandler.
Yes.
Saying congratulations. Happy's happy for you.
Yes.
We're all happy for you.
It was great.
That's
got to
be surreal, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that Will Zalatoris, when he was growing up, probably got compared to Happy Gilmore's caddy a lot. And it probably sucked for him at the time.
Yep.
But then to get a congratulations tweet from Adam himself on the day that you win your first tournament, that's big. That the entire playoff that they had was just fucking nuts.
Yeah, it was nuts, and we have a little time capsule for you. So when we started Rushmore, Mount Rushmore today, we were actually doing it at 6 o'clock, and you can hear us live the last hole. It was insanity. The fact that we had a three-hole playoff, sudden death, three-hole playoff, and there were three different penalties taken, and Will Zalatoris, his ball, like I guess it ended up, it didn't make a difference if it went in the water or not. But his ball bouncing and staying on that rock, I still don't. That's like a billion to one shot.
It's incredible. Yeah. But it was a fantastic finish. Basic PFT voice. Golf playoffs, go home, you're drunk.
Yeah. It was. I mean, they were drunk. And Will Zalatoris also, I mean, he, what did he finish this year? I think he finished second like four or five times, including second in three of the four majors. So he was. They were saying on the broadcast that he made $6.7 million this year, and that was the most money that anyone's ever made without winning a tournament. So yeah. He finally wins one. That was the drama on Sunday. We're still, it's preseason football. It's cool to have all the preseason games going on. I like how it's all spread out. So it's like, oh, Friday night. Oh, there's three games. Oh, Saturday afternoon. Oh, cool. Let's watch a couple games. Sunday, there's a little extra game. It's nice. I like preseason football.
I did okay on it this weekend. I've got a little system. I don't know how it's going to carry over into weeks two and three, but week one, it was pretty strong. You just bet on whatever coach. If it's a matchup between a rookie head coach and a coach that's been in the league before, you bet on the rookie head coach to win.
Yeah.
Because I think somewhere deep down, they would prefer to win their very first game that they play in. They might make some decisions towards the end of the game that, like, they're actually trying to win.
Right.
As opposed to you look at some of the older guys like Belichick. I think Peyton was this way, too, where they just don't give a shit. And
yeah.
then, oh, also bet on the Ravens.
Ravens.
Because the Ravens are the best team to ever play preseason football.
They're incredible. And, yeah, it was, you know, preseason football, I think we all had the moments. I mean, Billy and memes, you had a scary moment on Friday night. Zach Wilson threw, it was Jameis-esque, pre-LASIK Jameis. Jameis is now an MVP candidate. But he just threw a perfect pass to the middle linebacker and gave up pick six. And then non-contact knee injury, not ACL, but what was going through your head, Billy, when that happened? Because that was scary.
It was the worst sequence of moments in a preseason. Like, literally, so much hope going in, and, like, you know, hopefully there's been improvement, and just interception, almost ACL. It was just the worst sequence of events. But I looked at the tape. The linebacker did fake a blitz, kind of disguised well.
Nice.
It was supposed to be a routine dump off to the stick, a very safe pass, and, you know, the linebacker got a little greasy.
So it was a better play by him than a worse play that, like, by
right.
Zach Wilson.
Right. It was very well disguised. Like,
yeah.
That's something that you'd see on film. And since he didn't have any of that on film, so we'll see.
The linebacker ran play action on him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Pretended to defend against the run.
Yeah.
And then dropped back.
I mean, it's a typical thing. It's something to spot. He should have, you know, but he was trying to get out fast, and the linebacker got under.
It was tough on the group text, because it was, I think memes was already like Jimmy G. Like, I'm going to love watching Jimmy G on the Jets, because that, you know, obviously everyone thinks, you know, Mike LaFleur is their offensive coordinator, and Saleh from San Francisco. They're like, Jimmy G is going to be on the Jets by Monday. But thankfully you have Zach Wilson.
I'll address that more in my who's back.
Oh,
okay.
Do you have multiple who's backs? You want to just do it now?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
You know who looked
amazing? We are having a conversation.
You know who looked amazing?
Joe Flacco.
Sam Ellinger.
Oh.
He did.
He looks amazing.
He did.
I saw a stat line. Yeah.
Two touchdowns, 10 of 11.
Did you actually watch Sam Ellinger play?
I saw the highlights.
Okay.
Yeah.
They were sick highlights.
Yeah.
In your defense.
Yeah. I mean, there's.
I mean.
Preseason is. It's such a test for football fans, because it really is. Like, I was watching the Bears game on Sunday or on Saturday, and I was like, don't get upset about this. Don't get upset about this. And then if Justin Fields made a nice throw, and I was like, dude, he's fucking awesome. It's like, you can't. It's so hard to watch it and let it not bother you, and then you automatically, if a good play happens, you're like, this is the best. We're back.
There was stuff coming out of training camp for the Jets that Joe Flacco was performing very well,
yep,
and
fact.
It was like, should we just start Joe Flacco because
yep,
he's performing
be tough,
better?
Second year.
But the thing is, that's what I was thinking about when Zach Wilson got hurt. I hope Zach Wilson has a very speedy recovery. But, I mean, then you don't have to make that decision. And then
but
you can
that's
start.
Bad if that – if your first-round pick is in the second year and you're talking about starting a guy who's 40, that's bad.
No, but that was more just like fodder to write about
right.
for the sports mm-hmm. writers. But like then if that was a true in that situation, then you could put Flacco in.
This is Billy is like, I think this is just osmosis and being around us long enough. He's becoming a master of the spin zone in terms of sports. Like
yeah.
what you just did, I'm proud of you because that's true. Like you're like, well, Now they don't have to make a decision, and we can just see if Joe Flacco's good.
I'll tell you what, if you're Zach Wilson, you better be back by week one, because if
yeah.
you're not and Flacco goes out and he throws four touchdowns, as he usually does, it's going to be very tough to bench Joe Flacco at that point.
Yeah. I'm just so happy to be talking about football again.
Yeah.
This is, like,
too.
So fun.
Yeah.
Jake has a stat.
If Joe Flacco plays week one, you know who's on the schedule? Ravens-Jets.
Revenge game.
Week
one.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, did you see Lamar Jackson added 18 pounds of muscle? I feel like that's probably not going to go great.
I think he just hasn't shit in a while.
I don't know.
I think he's waiting for Thursday night football to clear
thicker.
Some of that out.
He looks thicker. Like it's, I don't know. I feel like he's not going to be as quick.
This might be his way of holding out. He might be pulling a James Harden because he says that he's not going to negotiate his contract after the season starts, and then he's going to go into this offseason as like a lame duck. It's very weird what's going on.
Well,
Baltimore right now.
Would he go into the offseason as a free agent, right?
Yeah. So this would be his like lame duck season.
Yeah.
But it's very weird what's happening with him, and they better lock him up, because if he hits the open market, he's going to get paid.
Yeah.
It's weird, and this is just like my own personal experience with guys who put on a ton of weight and then they play. Like how they do. Either, you know, you get serious injury prevention from some injuries like broken bones, just like, you know, concussions, you know, impacts aren't as bad. But then you have the double-edged sword is the body capable of moving at that weight?
Yeah,
you get like non-contact.
Right.
Zach Wilson, he put on a bunch of weight this offseason.
Yeah.
He had a non-contact.
Well, and I'm talking more about like Lamar Jackson. He looks thicker. And it's probably good because he does sustain some hits, although part of like what makes him great is he's able to kind of elude those hits. But I just can't imagine gaining 18 pounds of muscle. Like, you can't tell me he's going to be as fast. He has to lose at least a little bit of quickness.
And you know that it's not, you know, everyone talks about 18 pounds of muscle. No one ever actually puts on pure muscle. I mean, it's definitely, it's a mix, you know, there's always a mix. You're always putting on, you know, like a little bit of fat depending on the ratio. So it's not all functional weight.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. All
right, so that was talking Lamar Jackson's body type.
I like that.
I like that a lot.
He is very low body fat, but, you know, there's going to be some added non-functional weight.
I think he would look better to have a little bit of that Russell Wilson cake and a little bit less of the Lamar Jackson pie. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect. Thick
that out a little bit.
Yeah. What else do we have going on? I mean, there was soccer drama. We had a Harbaugh-Schwartz handshake off in Tottenham-Chelsea. And
that was talking soccer.
Yeah, that was talking soccer.
There was a few more things that happened in football. We got to see Baker Mayfield in a Carolina Panthers jersey.
Yep.
Fucking weird. I knew it was going to be weird because they've got such a, like, 90s modern color scheme.
Right.
That Baker was not going to look natural in it. He looked good when he was playing for the most part, but like I'm not going to get used to seeing him in a Carolina Panthers
jersey. No, he definitely because the Browns in Oklahoma had like
they're like understated earth tones.
Yeah, similar looks.
Now it's
Clay.
Like, yeah, it looks like Captain Planet got hit with a strobe light on the Panthers. That's not Baker Mayfield's game.
He looks like he's playing in NFL Europe.
Yeah,
that's what it is. He's playing for the Berlin Hammers or whatever they were.
It's very strange. Matt Rhule's glasses have gotten bigger. He wears the biggest sunglasses in the world. Now they cover up his entire forehead.
Yep.
Sam Howell, future Super Bowl MVP. That was nice to see.
Mm-hmm. Kenny Pickett, nice little drive to win for the Steelers.
Yep.
And the Steelers, I don't really know what they're doing because they have like three. I actually think that if you were like, who's got the best three quarterbacks, I think the Steelers are the answer.
Yeah, they've got elite.
Rudolph, Trubisky, and Pickett. Like, I think if you had to go 3D.
I think Rudolph kind of sinks that a little bit.
Yeah, well, yeah, a little bit. But who else has – who can go 3-deep? Do the Steelers have the best
Jets.
Starting three?
The Jets. Zach Wilson, Mike White, Joe Flacco. That's pretty big. That's a three-headed monster.
Yeah,
right
I don't know. I just – it was like kind of – I think I might just bet the Steelers every preseason game because, like, every one of their quarterbacks – isn't like a backup hanging on. You know what I mean?
I would say maybe the 49ers.
Colts.
Jimmy G.
Trey Lance and who?
Colts have two. I think they have Nick Foles, Matt
right.
Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Got Foles okay, now. Yeah.
And Sam Ellinger.
They win. Yeah. Okay. It's just a fun little debate to have. Who's got the best starting three?
Trying to think of other ones.
Who's the third?
Panthers.
Oh, yeah, they got P.J. Walker, right?
Saints, Dalton and Jameis and Ian Book. Ian Book sinks
Ian
that.
Book. Yeah, I think the Panthers are definitely up there.
Although, Sam Darnold and Baker, like, what? Yeah.
Bills have Case Keenum.
Oh, nah.
And Matt
he was
Barkley.
Good.
Case Keenum did the video where he was, like, pretending to get – he's like, who will recognize me getting signatures from other Bills Bills players? But he didn't even wear a disguise. It was just like everyone was like, dude, what are you doing? Like Josh Allen was like, "What's up, Case?" It was a
weird voice.
Case just likes weird videos. Yeah, I feel like he's always good for one of those every year where it's like training camp weird funny videos.
So the joke was like he just looks like a normal guy.
He kind of put down his bucket hat a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So and like didn't really show his face. Like I feel like Case Keenum will be the guy who like does a video at like Sports Authority and be like, "No one knows that it's me." It's like, "Well, you're Case Keenum." Like
I remember Woodhead did that for a while. He was the king of that. He would like show up. I think he did like a Dick's Sporting Goods thing where he was, but it was funny because he was selling, people were buying Danny Woodhead jerseys and he was the guy that was selling them the Danny Woodhead jerseys,
right?
But they didn't know that was Danny Woodhead selling that jersey,
right? That's some high level internet right there. I don't know what else happened with the NFL preseason.
Watson got chanted.
Oh yeah, you sick fuck.
Yeah, you
no
sick
means
fuck.
No.
By the Jaguars fans. Best thing Jaguars fans probably ever done.
No, swimming in the pool with a denim on.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true. And I guess if you
getting your head stuck in the Jaguar statue outside the stadium.
Yeah, so
they've done a lot of cool.
That's
shit,
like the
actually.
Mount Rushmore, and then the Jackson DeVille like, didn't he like get strung up or something?
Yeah, Jackson DeVille is the greatest mascot I think in professional sports. He gets like lowered in on a zip line.
That fat ass.
He gets lowered in on a zip line, and he was just completely passed out. And his neck was like drooping forward.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That happened with the Nuggets mascot too. Remember that video? That was fucking sick.
Tim Kennedy, Stu's guy. Went off.
Our guy.
Yeah, our guy.
You know him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tim Kennedy from Farmingdale went off. Yeah.
That's going to be good Hard
and
Knocks.
And Jared
episode.
Looked great. Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for Hard Knocks.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely the beginning of the I can't wait to watch this Lions game so I can see all the plays that I'm going to see shot with a different camera on Hard Knocks the following Tuesday.
Yeah, what is he going to yell about? Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Oh,
and what?
Fernando Tati.
That was going to be my news back.
Ringworm for Fernando Tatis, 80 games. You got to be feel real. The Padres statement that came out, I wouldn't say it was great for Fernando.
But it's realistic.
No,
though.
I know. They were very honest. They're like, we expect to have trust both ways, and something is clearly broken because this sucks.
Yeah, so I have him on my fantasy team, and I cut his ass the second I found out about this.
Nice.
So Leroy gave me the heads up. I brought the ghost of Leroy came back for a brief time on Friday night. Got a couple tips saying that Fernando Tatis was going to be suspended for the rest of the season because of PEDs. And so I immediately went to my fantasy app and tried to trade Fernando Tatis. Is that a code break?
No.
If we're talking about, like, should I have gotten smacked in my face by somebody for using inside info that they didn't know?
No.
So I wasn't able to find a trade partner in the 15 minutes in between when I found out and when Jeff Passan reported it. But I stand with the Padres in solidarity that, like, we've come this far without Fernando Tatis. We don't need him. We're going to keep moving on.
And, like, it sucks for them because they built everything up to win a title in the next year or two. And now you have this guy out. I don't understand why. Didn't he test positive, like, a while ago? I don't know why.
That's usually how it happens in baseball. Yeah, you test positive, then there's an appeals process. But
that's
yeah,
like Cam Smith today. That fucking sucked for anyone who bet Cam Smith on Saturday night. And he shows up to the driving range, and they hit him with a two-stroke penalty.
Yeah.
Which is this league with Live Tour.
Of course. And then it was also this league. Did you see Scotty Scheffler step in his line?
Yep, big
time. Don't step in another man's line, Haas.
Big time. Big time. Okay, anything else?
Last thing on Tatis, his excuse for the ringworm medication, it's a totally different compound. So I think it's like whatever the word is than like euthanate or something, acetate afterwards, and that's a totally different compound that's used to take out ringworm than the one he tested positive for.
So he's just bullshit.
Yeah. So he still has ringworm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Untreated. Got it.
What is ringworm?
I think it's fungal.
Yeah, okay. It's like when you're really good at wrestling, you get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just rolling around on mats with dudes. You get ringworm. Okay, that makes sense.
I have a bad fungus right now.
What? You know we're on a mic right now? What's going on? No, well, now you have to say it.
I got this thing on my back. Doesn't itch. Doesn't hurt.
What does it look like?
Let's see it.
It turns red.
Let's see it.
Yeah, yeah.
How do I put it on the camera?
Tarps off.
Take it all the way off. Take your shirt off.
Let's see your fungus.
Where is it? Are you talking about pimples? You have pimples?
Yeah, I have a couple
pimples. No, it's fungus.
You have back acne?
It shows up in the heat.
Yeah, oh, Billy, I know what that is. That's tinea versicola.
Yeah, how do I get rid of it?
You know what you should do? You should get some dandruff shampoo, get like Selsun Blue, and then rub that on your back every day.
Also, being on time helps it.
True.
You also get that in Mount Rushmore. You know, Mount Rushmore today was a chaotic mess because one of the mics wasn't working. Billy showed up halfway through, and also we were watching Will Zalatoris win his first PGA championship. It's very, very good. Billy's not in trouble, just so everyone knows.
No.
But it was great. It was great hearing all of it.
Billy, Selsun Blue. You're real.
Just rub it on you.
Hey, Billy, you're a real fun guy.
Thanks.
Nice. All right, let's do our Who's Back of the Week, and then we'll get to Rich Bisaccia, who... all-time football guy. Like, just, He liked us, and then we had a couple questions that he didn't like us, but I think there was like, we love him more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was one of those interviews where it's like, he might not like us, but we love him.
Yeah, we love him because he's the exact kind of football guy that doesn't have time for like two slapdicks with a podcast.
Questions, yeah. But he also, great dude.
He had a great, I forget what the exact phrase that he uses, but he, you know how Belichick every year when they ask him about social media, he'll be like, I'm not on Snapface.
Yeah.
You know, like where he just makes up a social media thing?
Yeah, he did that.
He did that to us, and it's perfect.
He did that.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike. If you want to join Buns of Anarchy, wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Batgirl, are you, Hank is on vacation. Do you have a who's back? You are sitting in his seat. Oh no.
Vacation's back.
Okay, yeah. There we go. Yep. All right, yep. Nice one. That nice counts. One. You didn't know that you were going to be called on, so that's fair.
I did have a backup. I was either going to go that or shorts and or pants.
Wait, why are pants back?
It was kind of cold this weekend.
It was. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Not so at the beach. Switching pants. Pants are back.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was like the perfect temperature in the city.
It made you start to feel like fall's coming and football's coming.
That first crisp of the air when you're just like, yep. Oof.
I got tickets to the whiteout at Penn State. My girlfriend went there, so
who are they playing?
Like, Minnesota, which kind of sucks.
Oh, that's why are they wasting a whiteout? I have
no idea. No idea.
What?
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
What's the rest of their schedule?
Wait, but they're not that good when they do whiteouts, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So they're not. So they're when we think of them wasting it, it's like that's actually a perfect use for a whiteout because you don't want to do the whiteout against like in Ohio State.
Well, that's what they've been doing. Although they did win the famous one.
Yeah, they have a home game against Ohio State and Michigan State.
Oh man! All right, Minnesota whiteout. Okay, PFT, your who's back?
Well, I was gonna have Leroy as my who's back. He's a very good boy. But we talked about Fernando Tatis coming back, so I'm gonna say. My who's back is soup and salad. So it happens about every time this year. I know you guys kind of feel the same way when we get back from Grit Week. It's usually when we're at our most bloated of the calendar year, or definitely right up there. Jake's nodding his head because during Grit Week, every time we'd have like a burger for lunch, Jake would be like, oh my God, we're eating like such shit today.
Yeah,
he made us feel way fatter than we really are.
He said that so many times that he was like, we ate like shit today. I was like, I ate exactly how I always eat.
You have to realize I'm someone who, on a routine in the office, I eat a salad for lunch 5 times a week.
Yeah.
Yes. So anything but that, we have back-to-back barbecues. That's
but it
crazy.
Really hurt my feelings. So I was sorry. Like, wait, am I eating like
I
shit?
I should have used first person, not us.
Yeah. Well, when you say I'm eating like shit and we're eating worse things than you're eating,
right?
Then you're that's a big time double sportsmanship where it makes us feel worse.
Yes.
But this is the time of the year where we do feel bigger, bloated, filled with sodium and beer usually. So, weighed myself. I'm a little on the chunky side. That's fine.
What are you weighing at?
No comment.
No, come on. Give us the weight.
191.
Oh, that's not bad.
But every time I approach 200, I'm like, okay, if I get over 200 pounds, I'm never going back. So,
I was about
this weight last year at this time. So, I'm going to get back on the soup and salad train. And then it fucking didn't help me. I don't know. I don't know who to point my finger at exactly, but if you see the thumbnail from this week's Stool Scenes, have you looked at it, Big Cat?
No.
It's me and you. I got done dirty on this thumbnail. Look it up right now. I want to see your reaction to it.
Okay.
You look great in it.
Thanks.
I think they used the slimming tool on you. Somebody put the fat filter on my face and on my boobs, and I just look fat as shit in this, but I saw it, and it was like looking into a window into the future.
You got to understand, too, I don't like my pictures, I always am like, I look like shit.
Yeah, no, but
you don't. Yeah, look, what it's more your face just looks distorted.
They made me fat, but it's, you know what, it's good for the motivation. It's like it's bulletin board material for me. I don't want to look like that, so I'm back on my diet, which I invented, which is just eating soup and salad every day during the week, and then whatever the fuck you want to do on weekends, that's fine. That's your time.
I thought you were going to say that they put in all your misses at Colorado.
No, but, well, there weren't any of those.
Right.
Yeah.
Do we have a video coming out from that, Batgirl?
Yep, that'll be in the recap this week.
Nice. Yeah. Beautiful. So we got a recap coming up, and then we got Everest also at some point. We're not putting
that'll
a date
the,
on
that'll
that.
That'll be the following week.
But everyone check it out, because we got some good stuff. We have more Grit Week stuff coming up. Content coming out. Okay, so yeah, that's a fucked up picture they put.
Yeah,
in
but you know what? In the long run, I think that picture is going to be that's going to start a new good diet for him.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, there you go. I like that.
Appreciate that.
I like that. All right, my who's back is Jacob DeGrom. He's just all the way back, and this is why. Like when we talk to Jake Arrieta and people get upset when he's like, yeah, Jacob DeGrom's the best pitcher. Like, oh, he can't stay healthy. He on Saturday night pitched against the Phillies, the Red Hot Phillies. He pitched 6 innings, 10 strikeouts, 76 pitches. He's still on, I think, a pitch limit.
Yeah,
it's fucking insane how good he is,
and he's fully back because he's also back to getting the exact same amount of run support.
Yep.
That Jacob DeGrom standard gets. Yeah.
One run.
And what was his run support in his other start on Tuesday? I feel it was like 2 or 3 runs.
Yeah, but it's he is so fucking filthy. Like the fact that he pitched 6 innings, 10 strikeouts, he's nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And when is he going to be memes? When is he going to be like back fully? Like when do they say they're going to let him actually pitch a full game?
I think it's going to be a while.
Okay. But you don't care. You just got to have him back.
Yeah. And
yeah.
They said on the pregame show that his slider wasn't hitting and he still threw 10 K strikeouts.
Fuck.
Not bad.
It's crazy. Yeah. The other night he pitched 5 2/3 and had 12 strikeouts. He's absolutely insane. Yeah. So right now he's pitched three games. He has 28 strikeouts in 16 innings. He's fucking filthy. Also, my jinxing ability is back because I totally blew up that Rays pitcher's Rasmussen's perfect game. It was, even for me, and I do jinx a lot of shit, I was shocked because I tweeted, like, congrats to the Rays for the perfect game, and it was, like, 45 seconds later that the Orioles broke it up. So, sorry, Rays fans, all five of you.
Jeff Passan also jinxed it when he tweeted his thing out because he was like, there's something happening.
I hate that shit.
That I'm not going to talk about because I can't talk about it, but you should watch this game.
Dude, there were so many writers saying shit like tune into this game. Something's going on. Just, you're a fucking writer. Like, just say it. Say what's happening so people go watch it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Also, it's a tough look for the Rays because the Rays, I think they've got the most perfect games thrown against them of any team, despite the fact that they've only existed for like 20 whatever years, and they never have a perfect game for themselves. So it's bad luck. I think they're number one.
I believe that.
I feel like every time I've seen a perfect Dallas Braden, his was against the Rays.
So they're tied for number one against with the Dodgers.
Oh, the Dodgers, they've been around a little bit longer.
Yeah, a little bit longer, right? I'd say. The Twins have two. The Rays and the Dodgers have 3 perfect games thrown against them. And the Twins have 2 thrown against them.
So the last perfect game 10 years ago, right?
Is that what it was?
Felix Hernandez?
Yeah, must have been.
Yeah. Fuck.
Perfect games rock.
You remember we were having a big discourse. This is how dumb sports talk radio is. In 2012, we were like, is there something wrong with baseball? Why are there so many perfect games?
Yeah.
Like something's changed, and then boom, 10 years, none.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's been crazy. I mean, because 2010.
There were 3 in 2012.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a problem.
There were 2 in 2010.
Are there too many perfect games?
And then Armando Galarraga got absolutely screwed out of his.
Yeah,
yeah.
Jim Joyce.
Yeah,
the umpire.
Fucking crazy. That would piss me off forever. All right, Billy, go ahead.
My who's back is Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury, who had once said he was retired from boxing, went to Iceland to try to find Hathor Bjornsson, the mountain, to do some sort of exhibition event.
Oh,
very,
wait.
Yeah.
Are you saying a boxer didn't actually retire?
Right. I know, but he's back.
That's nuts.
So Hathor Bjornsson, you probably know him as the mountain in Game of Thrones. He's a, you know, a multiple World's Strongest Man winner. Like gigantic specimen of human being who has been getting into boxing recently. This is just one of those pure spectacles that I think would be just hilarious to watch because Hathor Bjornsson did win a fight against Eddie Hall, another strongman. His boxing is very limited, but it would be a total crazy thing to see him face off against Tyson Fury. These are two giants.
Boxers and porn stars never really retire.
Yeah.
They always say they do. They're always ready for one more. It just always, you know what I mean? You'll see it and you just be like, no.
If you're a
porn
star,
one more.
You just age into becoming a MILF.
Yeah, right. And it's just like, oh, I'm back for one night only, like, you know, like double anal, like, oh, okay.
In some ways, the senior tour.
Floyd Mayweather's going to fight some random dude in fucking, you know, Vegas in a couple of years. He's back. Just they don't retire.
The senior tour of porn stars is almost more lucrative than the original tour.
It's just I never trust boxers and porn stars. You tell me you're going to retire, I'd be like, all right, I'll see you in a couple of years.
Well, when a boxer retires, it's almost understandable because they just got done getting punched in the face for like 30 minutes.
Right.
So most rational people would say, okay, I'm never going to do that again right after it happens. But then boxers are like, you know, you give them a couple months off and they're like, I kind of want to kick somebody's ass.
Well, not only that, but someone's like, hey, how about we give you $20 million for one night of work? Okay, that's similar to porn stars.
How many Zin 6s you got in?
Two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah. I just cashed my last two.
We have Breaking Moves.
Breaking Moves.
Max, Batgirl.
No, that's me.
I do the news voice.
I say Breaking Moves. PFT does the Telegraph. Breaking Moves. No. Hank.
I miss you, Hank.
Hank. This show doesn't work without you, Hank.
Emergency. Who's back of the week? Stephen A. Smith is back tomorrow.
Yeah.
He just released this tweet. I haven't heard it yet. It just came out. Let's see what Stephen A. Smith has to say for himself.
What's up, everybody? It's been a long time. I know I've been gone a little while. I know that, but I'll be back. I'll be back Monday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. There's a whole bunch of stuff to get into. I know you're seeing stuff in the NFL, the Cowboys, Lamar Jackson, Trey Lance, and the whole crew. But I haven't had an opportunity to comment about KD and his trade demands.
Let's go.
And Kyrie, along with a host of other things that's been going on in the NBA.
He's got like a strobe light going on behind.
It's been a while. It's crazy. The shoulders still got some work to do. But I'm ready. I miss y'all.
Stephen A. Smith.
I hope y'all miss me too.
Definitely strikes.
First takes an ass.
He definitely strikes me as a.
Buckle up, y'all. It's been a while. I can't wait to get back. I swear I can't wait.
He definitely strikes me as a dude who's got a stripper's pole in his house.
Oh, for sure. He probably has his own ATM in his house.
Yeah.
But he just uses it himself and pays himself money.
He's a bottom feeder. Self admitted.
Yeah, he loves the booty. Yeah. You know Stephen A. You can't keep Stephen A. Smith's mouth off of booty. But yeah, it's good. The sports world is gonna be it's a better place when Stephen A. Smith is on my television screaming at me in my living room.
Yes, agreed. Okay, Jake, finish us off, and then we'll get to Rich Bisaccia.
My who's back? Kentucky Athletics. We've got a situation brewing in Lexington. I really wish you guys had Kentucky Sports Radio coming up because you guys would love messing with the fans. So, John Calipari wants a new practice
facility. Calipari.
Yes. He wants a new practice facility. He says, we're a basketball school. Coach Stoops bounces back, says, we're a football school, and now they're kind of beefing.
Okay, so
if you want to explain in detail.
Obviously Stoops was like, we compete in the SEC, and Kentucky football has been good the last few years. The thing is, it's like one of those things that what John Calipari said is not incorrect. He just shouldn't say it out loud.
Right.
They are a basketball school.
Right.
Like, you can't change that. Right.
But Kentucky football has been good
recently. Of course. But, like, this would be saying, like, if Notre Dame basketball won a national championship in March Madness, they wouldn't be a basketball school.
Right. But, like, what is Coach Stoops supposed to – he has to defend his
program. Of course.
Program.
That's what I'm saying. Calipari,
public, yeah.
Yeah. He screwed up by saying it out loud, but what he said wasn't actually incorrect.
Right.
I think Stoops also said – I'm going to stay in my lane on this one. So he's taking the high road on it. But Jim Calipari is 100% correct. Like, they are. That's who they are.
I really wish you guys were hosting this week. That would be incredible.
It's fucking nuts.
If they're a basketball school, what does that make St. Peter's? Like basketball.
Juggernaut.
Yeah, juggernaut. Basketball mecca.
Yeah. But everyone getting upset.
Better than the Dream Team.
Yeah.
I get, like, getting upset about it if you're in the, like, program, like, football program. But again, what he said, that would be like Duke. Like, Duke is a basketball. You know what basketball and football schools are. You just, when I saw it, I was like, yeah, they are a basketball school. That's not an offense. That's no offense to the football program, Kentucky, when you think Kentucky, you think basketball. That's just a fact.
And then the AD, Mitch Barnhart, blames the media and the world we're living in for the controversy.
Yeah, the world. Blaming the world.
I mean, Cal Perry, he did kind of step in it. He shouldn't have said it.
You know you're on the right side of history when you start blaming the entire world.
Yeah.
It's not me.
It's the media.
It's literally everyone else.
Yes. It's actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was a rare controversy that you never have the two head coaches kind of.
Beefing, yeah.
What a burden that must be to be the only correct person on planet Earth.
Yeah, it's got to suck.
Yeah,
it's like everyone else is crazy except me.
But if both teams win, the fans probably won't care.
That's not going to happen, though.
But again, I go back to it. Who's going to win a national title? Who's more likely to win a national
obviously
title?
Obviously, basketball.
I mean, it's very clear.
I do like what James Calipari is doing, which is
Jin Calipari.
He is completely like thrown out the idea of winning being the only thing in college basketball, though.
Oh yeah,
where. He so much so to the point where he has players that are getting drafted in the first round that just never play at Kentucky.
Correct.
So it's just a farm system for professional basketball.
They just like the when they get away with the one and done rule and they make it so high school players can go, like James Calipari is going to figure out a way to have like dudes go from high school to NBA, but make sure they're wearing a Kentucky hat on draft night.
Yeah.
And be like, he would have come here. Another one for us.
Or just market himself like, hey, come here, you'll get $1 million in NIL.
Yeah.
Stay on campus, and we'll just have you practice for a while. If you don't like the teams that are going to be probably in the lottery this year, and you want to wait out for a different lottery like sequence to come up, then yeah, come hang out in Kentucky for a year. We'll pay you $1 million. You don't even have to play.
Yeah, or just commit to us and then go to the draft.
Yeah.
You don't even have to show up on
just
campus.
Put our hat on.
Yeah, just know that I want to be on top of the commitments every year. Yeah, it's true. But yeah, Kentucky, they are beefing. I guess it's also not a problem to have that. It's a good problem to have the fact that football now takes offense to it. Because that actually shows, like, if you think of it that way, 10 years ago, if he said that, no one would have said a word.
Right.
So it's actually good that Kentucky should be proud that there's actually people who are upset by that now because it means that football has been better than average.
Yeah.
I would say that Calipari is actually putting himself on the losing side of this argument by having to say we are a basketball school in Kentucky.
Yeah, true.
That should not ever have to be said.
Yeah.
It's like what's that old the political thing where if you can make your opponent say I'm not a pig fucker,
yeah.
Even if they're beating you, you already won because you shouldn't have to.
Jim Caldwell had to answer a question of whether he's dead or alive.
Exactly. Yeah.
Makes you think. Is he dead or alive? It's
not a question a live person would ever have to answer.
Yeah. That's the old David Stern. Remember David Stern did that to who'd he fucking do that to? Did he do it to
When did you stop beating your wife?
Beating your wife. I think he did it to Jim Rome.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, when did you stop beating your wife? All time fucking pretzeled them.
Yep.
He's like, what?
No good answer.
Okay. Let's get to our interview. Great interview. Again. If you think that he doesn't like us, it's probably true, but we love him even more because he's a true, true grit football guy. It is Rich Bisaccia. It is brought to you.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This Grit Week interview is brought to you by Coors Light. We now have a very special guest. It is special teams coach for the Green Bay Packers. He also was the interim head coach for the Raiders last year. First guy ever to get coach of the year and assistant coach of the year votes after the 2021 NFL season. It is Coach Rich Bisaccia. Coach, thank you for joining us. So it's Grit Week. First thing we ask on Grit Week, what does grit mean to you, or how would you define the word grit?
Grit. I guess grit to me would be my dad getting up at 5 in the morning and going to work and driving a truck and coming home at 7 at night and getting up the next morning and 5 and going to work and driving a truck and getting up the next morning and feeding his 6 kids. I think grit is doing what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, the way you're supposed to do it, and do it fucking better than anybody else on the planet.
That's a great answer.
I love that answer.
I'm ready to run through brick wall, which, yes. is what everyone always says about your players for you. Is there a player that like has tried to run through a brick wall for you?
I don't, just the equation is about them trying to improve at everything that they are every day, right? Can they be a better son? Can they be a better husband? Can they be better at their craft every day? Just can you improve a little bit at who you are every day? And then, we're trying to do it for each other. It's not just about me or one in particular person. It's really trying to do it for each other. That's the particular thing about football is we need all of us. Michael Jordan can go off and score 50 in a game, right? We need the guy next to us. We need the guy behind us. We need the guy in front of us. It's just a different game. So it's really about all of us.
So we were telling you right before we started that when you got the job with Las Vegas last year, when you became the interim head coach, we had our good friend Booger McFarland on, and we asked him about you, and he said that you're the number one foxhole guy, number one guy that you want to be in a foxhole with. And it seems like everyone has that same opinion of you, where players want to play for you. What is that about you or your personality that has guys, all the quotes are, I love Coach. He's always, been straight with me, honest with me. Like, I'd run through a brick wall, like PFT said. What is it that makes guys, like, drawn to you?
For the test of time, I always have issues with or talking about, my personality or who I am, or I don't know if I can actually explain that, to be honest with you. I think a lot of players I've been fortunate to be around and people I've been around, they do a better job explaining to me than I do. The McFarland thing, he's been in a lot of my meetings and in Tampa. And the foxhole thing from Anthony is, I do this thing about the foxhole, is like, fuck the foxhole, make them dig. We ain't digging. And I'm not a digger. I don't want any of our guys to dig. We're going to go. And that's where that foxhole thing, he always, he leaves me that a lot of times in my messages, fuck the foxhole. And that's kind of our mentality is fuck the foxhole, make them dig. We're running.
That's a quote. I genius. Want that tattooed. Yeah.
And it's genius because what he's saying when he said, like, you're the number one foxhole guy, what he means by that is he wants to be in a foxhole with you because you're not going to be in a foxhole. Yeah. You're putting the other guy
in the next level thinking.
Well, just again, it's all right. It's a mindset. It's a mentality. We run into circumstances all the time. How are we going to deal with the circumstance? And if we run into that circumstance where, I guess I'd rather just I'm going.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can get enough guys to go in the same direction.
The thing I've heard about you from your players is just that you care deeply about each and every one of them. That you think of them first. You're an authentic guy. They respect that because players can tell if they're dealing with like a bullshit artist, but you actually care about them and you want them to succeed. Is there one player in particular, let's just say besides Will Compton, who's the best player you ever coached?
Wow, that's, I've been fortunate to be around. I've been asked that. I struggle with that. I think if you go way back for me, I was fortunate in my college career to be around some guys that became, Sterling Sharp and Harold Green and Deuce McAllister and Robert Brooks way back when, when I started in college and in pro football to be around early, Rondé Barber and Mike Allstott and Derek Brooks. And, when I saw Warren Sapp practice, I about shit myself. I mean, I never seen anybody run like that size and practice like that and how smart he was and the way in which he cared about his teammates and the way in which he cared about the plays and then being with John Lynch and you got Brad Johnson and then I ended up with work done and Cadillac Williams. It goes on and on and on. When you talk about a long career, the list of the players that I've learned from or had an opportunity to be around, I mean, we could take the whole show, I guess, and, I know I forgot a lot of guys, but early in my career, when I first got into the NFL, to be around those guys on that defense, not to mention Simeon Rice was on that defense. And, I can't explain the things I've learned from those guys. And, Derek Brooks and I are still extremely close and have conversation. And when you win a Super Bowl, and I've tried to tell our guys all the places I've gone, when you win a Super Bowl with a group of men, your Rolodex is incredible. The phone gets picked up like that. And there's some sort of a bond when you win that one game in this league that's never ending, and I've been fortunate to be a part of those men doing that.
So we're here in Green Bay. It's training camp. We you know, we love talking to football coaches. One of our good friends, Doug Marone, he said that sometimes at practice he likes to close his eyes and just listen to the hitting of the pads and the helmets. What, when you, like, first day of training camp, do you have an extra pep in your step? Is there something about football that, like, just gives you extra life? That's something, a little thing that, you know, maybe us fans don't realize?
Well, I mean, Doug Marone's an old lineman, so those guys, you know, they hit all the time. He's from he's from Lehman High School in the Bronx, and I've known Doug a long time. But I just feel fortunate every day that I get to wake up and do this. You know, it's been a way of life. So I have a certain zeal for the mornings because you get to come in here and see the players and see their dreams come to fruition and watch them. I think the only people that get excited about the first day of pads are coaches. You know, players are like, gosh, I got to put on my pads today, you know, especially if you guys have been around for a little bit. But again, and coaches always talk about this, right? The opportunity to be on the grass is what we all strive to do, right? We all want to be on the grass. We know the meetings are a big deal. We know all those are, but, you know, being on the grass is that's coaching, right? And that's playing. Players make plays, not coaches. So the meetings are to put something in, but to actually go on the grass and walk through it and then to see it happen and see it happen live and see it happen fast and see it happen physical. Fuck, that's why you get up and go to work, you know? Yes. So that's for me.
Yeah.
So you're from New York. Did you grow up a baseball fan?
Huge baseball fan. There's only one fucking team, though, and that's the Yankees.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. I respect that. I think a lot of people feel the same way.
Yeah.
So. But as you're growing up, when did you realize that it was football that was your passion?
Yeah, good question. I played basically all the three sports, you know, most through all high school. And I just kind of got bored with baseball a little bit. Just got to be the point where I liked this. I liked the physicalness of it. I liked the tactical part of it, you know, learning other positions. And, you know, I'm old now, so I never came out the field. I was fortunate in high school. You played offense and defense and kickoff. We did all those things. So I think that just the zeal for football came from the physicality of it to some degree and the chess part of it, you know, knowing all the positions and, you know, how it works together. I think that was always, for me, it was something I thrived on to some degree, the physical part of it, but the technical part of it was fun. I mean, we all love the other sports, but
yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. So special teams, we always, you know, it's a third of the game. Everyone reminds everyone of that. When you're watching, the Packers had struggled big time last year with special teams. You come in, how do you fix it? Like, what is the Rich Bisaccia key to special teams that you tell guys day one, like, this is how we're going to do it?
Players.
That's it?
Players. I mean, players have to believe in what you're teaching them. You have to be astute enough in what you're teaching them to gain their trust for them to know that, okay, that this has worked over a test of time. And if we do it this way, we can have some success. And then you just, you know, let them put them in position to do what they do well and let them play. You know, special teams is, to some degree, gets a bad rap. You know, it's really the ultimate football play. You know, you take the punt play. To me, it's the most transitional play in all of football. You have the ball, so you have to protect the punter, and then next thing you know, you transition into a defensive player. There's gap responsibilities, there's lane responsibilities, there's the integrity of covering the whole field. So it's a transitional play that usually your offense can't get 40 to 45 yards on a play. So hopefully we can go out there and we can make up for them not getting enough yardage in three downs. You get one down, you know, to set the defense. And that's kind of the mentality you try to take. But it also affords guys the ability to play for a while in the National Football League if they can adapt the team-first attitude that it takes to play special teams. I think Keith Burns, I had him in Tampa. He was in Denver. He played 15 years. I don't think he ever started a game.
He
played all special teams.
Yeah, I mean, everyone always talks to, I think, did he just retire, Matthew Slater? I think he's still playing. Oh, he's still playing. He's a perfect case of a guy who's made his entire career off special teams. Yeah. And you can tell that, like, a guy like Belichick looks at him as, like, he's very important to this team.
Well, Coach Belichick started out as a special teams coach.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's, you put importance on it and you put a priority to it. And players can see that you do that. They're wanting to get a chance to get on the roster and they find a way to do it.
So what's the biggest change in special teams since you've been in the league? Because it's come a long way.
Yeah, been a lot of changes. I think the biggest one is what goes on kickoff return now. You know, no more three-man wedges, no more basically back-end two-man wedges. There's eight guys in a setup zone.
There's no more crackback blind blocks like that. There's no start off for the kickoff team. We used to line guy, Torrey Cox, I had him in Tampa. It sucked a line up on a 15-yard line, you know, to take off. And they moved the ball up because they want more touchbacks, things like that. So there's constant rule changes. A lot of them are made towards safety to some degree in the kicking game. But you just have to adapt and know that everybody's doing the same thing.
What about strategy-wise?
Well, I think it's when I came in the league in 2002, there used to be back in the day, like when I was in college for 19 years, you coach a position and you work special teams. Some teams broke it up. This coach had kickoff return, this coach had punt return, and other coaches all helped. I think it started to get into vogue in the National Football League. You know, the Coach Westhoffs, the Brad Sealys, those guys early in their career coached a position and did special teams. Well, once they started naming the guy just the special teams coordinator, and now he started to put in new schemes because he has a lot of time, he has longer meetings. Well, it just became more of an interest, and now you had to play against that guy. So they were all donating time and just one coach to the special team. So the strategic part of it has grown immensely over time. You were all looking for the weak link on the punt rush team. You know, who can you beat? What scheme are you going to scheme up this week to beat a certain guy? They've eliminated the pull and shoot where you used to be able to pull a guy out and shoot a guy behind it because guys got pretty smart in doing those things. There's been guys on field goal rush. They used to grab a guy and they'd send a guy out, stand in front of the official, can't see the guy, grabbing a guy, you know, for the shoot. So I think you have to look at what's going on in the past to understand that now there's so much schematics going into the special teams because of what happened earlier.
Were you the coach on the Bucs in that game against the Colts where the I think it was Monday Night Football?
Yeah, sure was.
That was bullshit, right? The end of that game?
It's a long time ago. But, you know, we had our chances in that game. And obviously, you know, they came from behind. We actually gave up a big kickoff return to kind of start their roll. Didn't really score on it. We scored on the next play. And really, I thought we had a big lead and just scored again. And we get a kickoff return. Next thing you know, you get a big play and it kind of starts their roll. I think there was four onside kicks in that game, and one was over there at Lynch's side, I know, and one was a middle dribble, and we got one, and then it became the field goal debacle, and what's his name hadn't missed all year.
Vanderjagt, and they called like
he
leaping,
missed, and they
right?
called leaping on Simeon. And,
yeah, I went back and I watched that when we had Booger on because I wanted to bust his balls about it, and I was looking at those. I still don't know what they called in that play. I don't understand it.
Well, they call leaping. I just don't know if they saw that, but that's what they called.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy won, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the Holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 this Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
So I mentioned at the top the Raiders last year. First coach ever to get assistant coach of the year and head coach of the year votes. It was an incredible year just because of, you know, everything that happened with the Raiders. And you come in. Have you had a moment to like look back and be like, That was like, I'm proud of what we did, because I think any other team has that much adversity with Gruden going away and then, you know, the Henry Ruggs situation. Like, you kept that team together. It was incredible that you guys got to the playoffs and got to that point, and, you know, probably should have, outside of a bad call against the Bengals, could have maybe been playing in the second round. Like, have you had that moment where, like, that was something special? Because it was, from our point of view.
I think we definitely think it was something special. Certainly, when it's all said and done at the end of the year and you lose that last game and you're in the locker room with those guys that went through all that, I'd like to think the coaching staff that we had, pulled everybody in the same direction. And the players just decided to become a team as we got going. And I think we tried to improve a little bit every day. I thought we were improving in games as the season went on. But I think the credit really gets to be spread amongst the coaching staff, amongst the personnel people that were there, and Mayock, who I've known for a long time, and then certainly the way players adapted to everything that happened. You know, a lot of times in adversity, you know, it breeds strength. And because in the National Football League, no one really gives a shit, to be real honest with you. You know, you got to get up and you got to go play. You know, no one cares type deal. And I think we got to the point where we had to kind of rally together for the things that went on that they weren't in our control. But what is in our control, and how are we going to respond to the things that happen? That's life, right? There's circumstances that come up. How are you going to respond to the circumstance? And I think that's what everybody on that particular staff and team adapted to. Here's the circumstance. Here's how we're going to respond.
Yeah. Now, that last game, before the playoff game, was there any part of you that was like, let's play for a tie?
No.
That was one of the craziest, like, events, basically, in the NFL, the fact that we had two teams that if they tie, they both get in, and then have it be tied late. You know, there was never a point where you're like, oh, well, let's just tie.
We had the ball, and we had the clock in our favor. So our thought was we were just going to keep running the ball, and I thought we could kick a 58-yard field goal with, you know, Daniel, obviously. So, but we get in position where we end up with a big run. The timeout's really irrelevant. I don't know why anybody makes such a big deal over it, but we just ended up with a big run, you know, with Josh, and just put us in better position to kick it. But we were going to be in position to kick at least a 58-yarder, we thought.
So. Now, did you feel at any point that the Chargers were like, maybe they'll just tie? Because it was crazy. I mean, I'm just thinking back of it now. Like, it did feel like the Chargers thought, oh, let's just run this out. Like, we'll be fine.
Yeah, I think we can only coach one team at a time. So
it's a good answer. That's a good football guy answer.
It is.
How long did it take to write all those handwritten notes? Because for people who don't know, you wrote a handwritten note to every single player. I don't actually, like, I'm not going to commend you because, like, you just did schoolwork. But how much time did it actually take? Because that part, I would be like, no, I'm just going to type this out.
That was actually, you know, my daughter put that on FaceSpace or Facebook, whatever those things are.
That's awesome.
But I, you know, and I wasn't really happy with it at first. I certainly appreciate her thought process and what she was now that it's gone through. But coming from a longtime college coach, you know, I wrote notes all the time, you know, handwritten notes. That was a big deal in recruiting at that time. And a lot of times I'd left, you know, you can ask Deuce McAllister and those guys, left notes in their lockers and all those things. So that was just kind of, we were in a playoff game, and it was an exciting time for everybody, and I was just going to leave stuff in their locker, and I was just finishing up some. That was actually the morning of the game. I only had a few left to finish up. I had been working on them throughout the week. So there was only a few to finish up, and that's when the picture was taken.
Did Compton get one? Because I don't think he was not.
Oh, yeah, actually let him go before that.
Yeah, so you got to write him a note.
I got to bring that up.
Come on, you got to write him a note. You owe him a note.
Do you want to give him a verbal note?
I text him all the time.
Give him a verbal note.
I text him all the time. So it's you don't know exactly what that means.
It was a cool moment, though. I mean, like I said, we're drawn to football guys who it's clear their players will do anything for them. And it's clear that you have that with your players.
Well, just some things are supposed to be private to some degree. And you know, that probably should have been one of them. Again, my daughter, I love her to death. You know, she's a school teacher, and I get her being excited for her dad. But it just some things should be private in our world because we don't really live in the real world.
Yeah.
You know, I know people on the outside like to think that we do, but we really don't. And it just you know, we have this thing about a brotherhood of men and families, and you know, we try to create a family community within our team. But the reality of it is, in a family, the week set the pace, right? You go to the zoo, you got your little kids; they spend most of the time on top of your shoulders. You know, it's Thanksgiving; you're with your grandmother. You're going to make sure your grandmother gets to her seat, and you're going to take care of everyone in your family. Well, in this, the strong set the pace; the weak are cut out.
Will Compton.
This is a brotherhood of men. You know, I mean, Will Compton's a good player now.
Yeah. So, he's a great
why'd you
guy.
Cut him,
we love him.
Huh? Yeah. Why'd you cut him?
We just had a numbers issue.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. The math didn't work out for him.
Be careful being a wise ass with a wise ass.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead.
I love it. Yeah. I read that you worked with Charlie Weiss right off the bat. He was one of your...
Not right off the bat, but out of Wayne. Charlie's the one that hired me as a GA at South Carolina back in 88. We worked the offense-defense camp in 87. He was in charge of hiring the GAs at South Carolina. And so he hired me after the 87 season. I was at Wayne State in Nebraska. He hired me as a GA at South Carolina. Yeah.
Yeah, did he have a parrot back then?
Not to the best of my knowledge.
Okay. He ended up getting a parrot after that, and then... Every time somebody would go over to his house, the parrot would just attack him.
Yeah. We've been on the parrot case. We've had him on a couple times.
We've been searching for that bird.
We're kind of obsessed with the parrot.
Yeah, I went to his house in New England once. I didn't see any parrot.
Really? Mm. You were lucky. You're one of the lucky ones. Yeah. That's why you're sitting here today.
Yeah, Charlie's good to me now. Charlie helped me get my start. Yeah. He's a brilliant guy. He's a hell of a football coach. He's really a little bit – Charlie would give you the shirt off his back now. Yeah. Cares deeply about people. So,
yeah, he's a good guy. I was noticing that through your career, you know, you've gone a lot of places, you've traveled around, one thing that's important to a lot of coaches that we talk about is the culture that they establish there. And so in the NFL especially, it's so transient. There are people coming in and out. Teams are never the same year after year. And you're working with a different group of guys. If you move around, like I know you went to San Diego, you've been all around. Is there something that, like, do you evolve what the culture of your football team is going to be based on the players that you have and their personality? Or is it more like, okay, here's what we need to develop. I know that this works if we all believe in X, Y, and Z, and that's how you teach it where you go.
Well, I think I'm trying to figure out the head coach's culture and what's important to him and the direction he's taking his team. And within that, we're going to build our unit culture and special teams, you know, in congruent with what his vision is.
So based off that, Matt LaFleur, his culture is just looking like a pretty boy. So how have you adapted that?
There's another wise-ass fucking comment. You know, I think Matt LaFleur's – I never met Matt LaFleur until I talked to him on the phone, and I thought I had gotten to a point where I really didn't want to work for a head coach I didn't know. And but my conversations with him on the phone and my conversations with Joe Barry about him, and then I talked to Todd Torricelli, who's the trainer at Tennessee, who's a good friend of mine. I was with Matt there, and I got an unbelievable amount of respect for his respect for players, his zeal for football, and his drive to win. And I enjoy coming to work with him every day. He's been phenomenal to me. He's incredible with his coaching staff and with their families and the way in which he addresses the team and the way in which he practices. I mean, you look at that team out there in practice, the whole offense is 10 to 15 yards behind the offense that's on the field. Every team I've been on, you're screaming and yelling at them all the time. I think the discipline of his players show up in games over and over and over again. I don't think he gets enough credit for doing what he's done.
And he's a good-looking guy.
I'm excited for the journey with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's that?
He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, I guess I don't look at him like that. But
yeah, I mean, I do. He's a good-looking guy. Dude, I can say it. Yeah, yeah. He's a friend of ours. We've had him on a couple times. He's a good-looking guy. I don't like him.
He loves field goals. Yeah. So that's good for you, right?
Yeah. Did he actually bring you in because Aaron Rodgers is getting a little older, so you're going to have to punt more? We always have to pepper a couple of these in.
Okay, here's a real question. Here's a real question. You coach, you mentioned two of the guys that you coached back in Tampa, John Lynch, Mike Allstott, two heavy hitters. I heard a rumor that they were not allowed to hit each other in practice. Is that true?
That'd be false.
Ooh.
Oh, that was sprinkled in there by somebody trying to. Like, who did you coach when Lorenzo Neal was also there?
Yeah, Lolo, no. Lolo was in San Diego when I was in Tampa.
Okay, yeah. But in the collisions that would occur in that practice, that's one thing that we love about Mike Allstott. Like, an all-time grit guy, probably. Never afraid to put his face down.
Top of the list.
What would those noises sound different? You know, you always hear about, like, certain batters in baseball. Ball sounds different off their bat.
You know, I think those collisions, you hear more. You don't really hear, like, a hammer hitting a nail kind of deal. You know, I think you feel they're like fucking horses finishing at the end of the quarter mile, you know. Mm-hmm. And those practices back then, I mean, we were two-a-days in Orlando, in the heat, and a walkthrough at the end of the day. These practices we have now, it's good coach these from a bar stool sometimes. Mm-hmm. So those guys, it was kind of, men were still men. You know?
Yeah, but, I mean, it is crazy to think about how the NFL, like, just even seeing the bumblebee thing on top of everyone's helmet, the fact that guys, you know, the first 7 days or whatever aren't hitting, and then you think about like 20 years ago, two-a-days and all that stuff, and just
yeah, I think those things are good. You like to think we've learned, right? We've improved, we've gotten better in the grain of safety, and so if it can extend guys' careers, we can keep guys playing a little bit longer and playing at a high level, because the way they take care of their bodies today, it's a year-round job, right? It's nonstop the way they get ready to play. So I think if we can extend careers and have guys play a little bit longer, I think anything we can do in the vein of safety is a good thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've got one suggestion. I'm a little intimidated to tell it to you because you've obviously been around and you've seen a lot more football. But we had Coach Harbaugh from the Ravens on a couple of years ago, sprinkled this in his ear. He's an old special teams guy too, so he kind of understood what I was getting at. But for the onside kick, I've been trying to tell people that a more effective way to do it could be to do a drop kick. So in rugby, which is what I grew up playing, you can get way more air under the ball, obviously, if it hits the ground first, kick it right up in the air, and the guys that are going to be catching it are going to be the guys that are right up close to the ball. They don't have a lot of experience catching balls like that. Is that something that you've ever considered?
Well, actually, again, if you're going to allow them to do that, you just should allow them to fair catch it like they do in college.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you put those guys up there that can do that, and hopefully you get a chance to get a fair catch. So, but
if you're the one kicking off, they might not know that it's coming. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to say, like,
on a surprise.
And then your guys are able to get downfield. You know, you only got to go 10 yards. The ball's in the air for.
Yeah, well, I think Coach Harbaugh would agree that we always teach the front line of kickoff return to always assume he's kicking you the ball. And then when he does, you won't be surprised.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I mean, I've always thought you just kick it as hard as you can at someone's face.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you guys do this shit for a living.
Yeah.
All right, I have one last question. We really appreciate this, Coach. It's been awesome.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3chi.com. That's 3chi.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
The last question is actually from the definition of grit. This is a stupid question, but what time would your dad go to bed at night? He would wake up at 5, work till 7, and what time would he go to bed?
Yeah, I don't know, probably like 9 o'clock, something like that, 10 o'clock.
And you just watch that every day, and you're like, this is grit.
Yeah, I mean, I said it at his eulogy. I just feel like he was the power of example, not the example of power, you know? And I think that was, for me, to some degree, you know, I've been married 38 years, and my wife is a trauma ICU nurse for 25 years, and so she's the power of example, not the example of power. And I think throughout my life, I've tried to look towards those people that are the power of example and try to live your life a certain way. And I think that's what we're trying to do, you know, for our players as well.
Us? Do you think we're power of example? We're
getting close. First time I never even heard of this shit till Waller's asked me.
So I'd say we're the power of example.
Glad you guys get to make a living and all that.
Yeah, we make a good living off of being assholes.
That's exciting.
Yeah, so that's the power of example. People look up to us.
Way of the world right now. It's the way of the world. So,
thanks, Coach. Is there actually, follow up to that, is there anybody in the NFL right now, any coach that you think leads by that power of example?
You know, I'm working for one now. I'm enjoying every day learning, you know, from Matt and what he's doing. And we got a great young staff with a lot of young kids. So my wife and I are enjoying the things that we've done as a family. But I think the way that Matt is detailed in the practice schedule that we're – this is a whole different practice schedule than I've ever been involved in. So the details that he puts into the practice schedule, the details in which he communicates to the players about what the week is going to be like, what the day is going to be like, I'm really enjoying learning from him every day. It's been a great experience for me so far. So.
Yeah. Also, we love the glasses. I don't know. This is another thing that, like, us sitting on our couch – when you'd break them apart and then put them back together on the sideline. These are the details that we always, you know, watch.
You can tell we really know our shit.
Yeah, we know ball. We know ball. Well, thank you so much, Coach.
No joke, I think I might have a Cane's sauce problem. I was at Raising Cane's the other day getting my box combo with extra sauce on the side like usual. I have an order. When I eat my Cane's, it goes crinkle cut fries, chicken fingers, the Texas toast, and finish strong with the slaw. So I start eating, and before I know it, I'm scraping the bottom of my sauce, and I wasn't even done with my fries yet. This habit is escalating, and I'm 100% here for it. Dip into Cane's. Get extra sauce for me, please.
Okay, let's do our Mount Rushmore. We also have an extra bonus. We are watching the playoff of the playoff, the FedEx Cup Championship playoff. Willie Z is trying to get his first ever PGA Tour win. I bet on him because I've just been pot committed with him. He's like the human form of the 50-50 raffle for me at this point. So you will also get some reactions throughout the Mount Rushmore. And Hank is on vacation and Billy is late. So we might have a Billy show up at any point.
I think I've lost maybe two consecutive bets on Willie Z in playoffs.
Dude, he's finished second like five times.
It's been infuriating. That first one, I had both him and Justin Thomas, and I cashed out on Justin Thomas. And I was like, you know what? Let's just ride with Willie Z. I feel like this one's different, though. I think he's built different.
Let's hope. I'm knocking on wood.
I'm also looking forward to Billy coming in because we're taking bets on what his excuse is going to be. I thought maybe it would be a phone excuse. Like, my phone didn't receive the text. I'd like to change that. I think he's going to go traffic on this one.
Okay, so I would like to hope that maybe he's shown some growth because in Colorado, I had a heart-to-heart with him that was basically like, hey, dude, sometimes just take an easy L.
Like, when you're late, just be like, hey, my bad, I fucked up. And knowing Billy, he's probably not going to do that, but I'm holding out, like, hope that I'm basically the guy who, you know, like, I'm in the relationship and just hoping the husband or wife just changes, even though they've shown over year, they're never going to change. I'm hoping this time will be different. This time he'll walk in and be like, my bad, guys.
It'll never happen again.
It will never happen again, right. So he was supposed to be here at 6. It's 6:40, but let's do the Mount Rushmore. So Hank's on vacation. That means Batgirl and Memes are running the show. And that also means Batgirl and Memes, I think you guys won the candy draft, so you get to pick the order.
I want it on the record. I'm 2-0 after contributing to Mount Rushmore's. I've yet to lose in this on this show. So
okay,
hang the banner.
Wow,
That's one thing to note.
Memes, what do you think about that? Kind of just he's taking all the shine away from the team. Actually, you know what though? Before you even answer, that's Hank's fault because Hank makes it an individual award, not a team.
Well, the way
award.
That it used to go would be Hank would list his three, and there would be one really good one, and that would always be Memes.
Yeah,
he'd be like, yeah, that was me.
So what do you think, Memes? Oh, you're not on. You're not on. Nope.
Nope.
Turn the knob. Switch the thing. All right, Willie Z and Sepp Straka are walking up to the third playoff hole right now.
Willie Z's got an all-time forehead tan going on right now.
Yeah, he does.
It is crazy.
I love him so much, and he just doesn't win. He just finishes. I was listening on the way in, and they said that he's made $6.7 million this year.
Yeah.
That's the most money that anyone's ever made without winning a tournament.
Always the bridesmaid.
Yeah. So it's tough. All right, so Meme's going to figure this out. Maybe he won't. That's fine. All right, so we're doing the Mount Rushmore of bad ideas. I can't hear you either, Jake.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
I feel like Hank is sabotaging
he
you.
He definitely has sabotaged. Like, you guys need me.
He's like, wait, Batgirl is crushing it?
But then it would actually be bad for him because it'd be like, you can't go on vacation anymore. And he loves vacation.
Well, he just wants to be wanted. He wants to know that the show cannot happen without him.
That's true. And it's seemingly right now feels like that's the fact.
The worst thing that you can say to Hank is actually like if you tweet at him and say,
there it is.
Hey, Hank, please don't take another vacation. We need you on the show.
We need you
it's
on the
so
show.
Much better with you on the show.
Yeah.
He'll be like, God damn it.
It's PFT and I have to filibuster. What are we even talking about?
Willie just hung his head. Oh.
Water.
Fuck.
Oh,
it's saved by the rock.
Oh, my God. What does that mean, though? What does that mean?
I don't know what golf rules are.
I don't know either. I think he's dead. I think he's dead again.
You can take a club from there, right?
I don't think so.
You get relief from this.
Jake, you're our rules guy. This fucking tournament makes no sense. He bounced.
It bounced on the wall 9 times and then settled in. This is insane.
Oh, there you are, Memes, I think.
All right, yeah. Memes is here. Memes, what do you want to say? We just saw Willie put
it. Really loud.
There's a buzz. There's a buzz.
There's a buzz on Memes, Max.
There's a buzz on you.
No,
yeah, there's a bad buzz. This is great. We're keeping this all in. This is what the people want. All
right, turn that down.
You go water.
You just turned up.
Oh,
he's
wet.
In the water. He's
wet.
He's in the water.
Yes. Oh, my God.
They're both trying to fuck themselves out of this. Does nobody want to win this tournament?
What is happening?
I think it's because like the more money they win, the less money goes to the kids.
This is insanity. This is gonna be great too because when we start the show, we're gonna tell everyone just tune into the Mount Rushmore to see our instant reaction because this is all happening live for us right now.
Oh my God!
So how do you go in the water after he goes? I'm not.
If I was Sepp, I would simply hit it on the green.
Yeah, I shot a 72 at Shinnecock. I would just be like, let's play it safe here and let's just go on the green.
I broke 140.
Yeah. So boom. All right.
I would
we still have
used my putter.
Yeah, there's still a buzz. Memes, I think maybe just turn your microphone off. Oh, the buzz is still there.
That might be Jake's mic now.
This is gone.
Oh, it's gone.
It's gone. It's gone.
It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Okay. All right. Let's reset. Memes, try. Now Memes
off. Okay, we're just going to have to go silent Memes.
Silent Memes. Okay, what's the order? This has been chaos already. What is the order for? I can't believe that shot.
That's insane.
For people who didn't watch the golf, it literally bounced 5 times and laid right on the rock.
I think it was like 9 bounces on the rock.
Yeah, and then Sepp went in the water, that fucking fat fuck. Okay, all right, here we go. Let's do it. What's the order?
The order is
bad idea. The Mount Rushmore bad ideas. Bad idea not hitting it on the green when the other guy hits it on a rock. That's just what. That's just a little test of what it is.
That's a bad lie he's got though.
Yeah, you think?
The thing's buried on the rock.
You should take over Nick Faldo's job.
Yeah, but he could just.
I should be his caddy.
Take the penalty and drop there too if he's not confident. Like
he might do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Maybe he goes to the water again, Sep. You fucking bitch.
Oh, bunker.
All right, now you got to take the penalty. Yeah. All right. Let's go. Let's get back on track.
This is like the end of that Raiders Chargers game when nobody wanted to win.
All right, here we go. Batgirl. Who's up?
Jake's going to go first. You guys are going to go second. Wow. We're going to go third.
Okay. This Mount Rushmore has it all because it's not only going to be a great Mount Rushmore, but we have the PGA playoff and Billy still has to show up at some point. Okay. Here we go. Jake.
All right. 1-1, bad idea, drinking and driving.
Oh, yes, yeah.
It's a bad idea.
Correct. I didn't know. You can't really argue with that.
No, I wanted to.
It's a very bad idea.
I like, for a second, I was like, wait, but then if I argue, then I'm arguing pro drunk driving.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very bad idea.
Yeah, no, that is a very bad idea. Murder's also a bad idea. We don't have that on our list. But
I think I'm going to go.
Although murder, no, murder's a bad idea.
So are we second?
We're second.
Okay, I think we go with the first one I just texted you.
Yes.
That's a pretty bad one.
Yes.
Okay, having a kid to save your marriage.
Very bad idea.
Things are on the rocks. Let's just squirt another human being into the world.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll grow to love each other as we go through one of the most stressful things that a couple can do together.
Yes, maybe having a kid will fix all of our problems. That's a very bad idea.
I think it's like, you know how they say that money never really changes somebody, just makes somebody more of who they already were?
Yeah.
A kid is probably along those same lines, where it's like you find the true colors when you have a kid that you're in charge
of. As a father or two, I could say kids definitely add stress, so don't do that. If you're on the rocks, that's a bad idea.
Speaking of on the rocks, Willie Z is trying to hit off a brick right now.
Oh, my God. All right, Max, Batgirl. Shit, I shouldn't have used your government name. Fuck, that was weird.
So the first one we're going to do is the Wuhan lab in China.
Okay.
That was a bad idea. Yeah, that was a really bad idea.
Shout out. I mean, memes dominated this one. This is just all a meme of everything of bad ideas. So his brain worked perfectly for this.
I considered putting eating a bat on there.
Yeah.
But I think the Wuhan lab, I think history is leaning more in that direction.
Yes. Yeah. That's a very bad idea.
Bad idea.
Okay. Still a bad idea to eat a bat, though.
Yes.
For the record.
And this is a direct line from Hank for how we're going to phrase this one. Trying to go to space with a frozen O-ring. So the Challenger. Yeah.
Okay. That's a really bad idea.
Yeah, bad idea.
Shout out the Challenger.
Mm-hmm.
Gone
Shout
too
out.
Soon. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say about that. You guys are going really bad ideas. Okay, we gotta go with a really bad idea, PFT. We went with a more theoretical
maybe
one.
Maybe we go with the season one that we both talked about.
Yeah. Oh, and here he is.
Here he is. It's Billy Football. Welcome, all right. Billy. Welcome to Part of My Take.
Let's see what his excuse is. Let's see his comments. Fresh.
I have no excuses. I'm sorry.
Whoa! Wow.
No,
what a moment.
That was big, Billy.
Billy, I said we were talking about what you were going to say for your excuse, and I was like, I'm hoping He takes an L.
I feel so shitty.
Okay, big.
But it's okay. I know. Do you want me to make it funny for the listeners?
No.
But I'm actually sorry.
I kind of do.
Yeah, sure.
I came 15 minutes early to the time I had my head.
Okay.
Okay, so it's the same problem we had on the bus where you were like, you just didn't read the text.
No, I blanked.
Okay.
I feel terrible.
That's okay.
Like, honestly, it was one of those things where like I just had the biggest panic attack like ever.
When did you realize you were late?
When I texted Jake.
On the side. Yeah, you're a big side texter.
Well, because you guys get annoyed.
What is Willie doing?
What
is he doing? Sorry, we're also watching golf, Billy. All right, he's taking the relief. Smart move. Okay, so Billy's here. We're doing bad ideas. Bad idea not checking the text message thread to see what time we're starting. Okay, it's okay, Billy. Of all the ways to sit down, I thought that was the best thing you could have done. I said it before. I was like, taking an L is a sign of progress. Just being like, I fucked up.
The thing is, I don't want to show up late.
No, I know.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
I'm really sorry, guys.
Don't cry.
It's okay. No,
don't cry.
Crying.
Don't cry.
Like, we changed the time later last night. So
not
you might
that
have
late.
Seen, it wasn't that late, but you might have, it was seven. It got
I'm
moved
gonna be
to
honest,
seven.
I totally
and
saw
also
it
we had all today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your flow chart, Billy, in terms of texting people on the side to see like what's really going down when you don't want to make all of us mad? How does that go?
Jake's the safest bet.
Yeah, Jake is. Yeah, because he'll have the most leniency. Okay. okay, what do you want to do, PFT?
I think we go the season one. That's a pretty big mistake. Or is there another like
brutal one?
Wait,
which season one?
Well, the
Yeah. Okay, all right. So, yeah, bad idea. This is a historical bad idea. Multiple times, invading Russia in the wintertime. Bad idea.
Never want to
really
do that.
Really bad idea.
Never. History will judge you unkindly.
Yes. Just being like, hey, you know where it gets really cold and hard to like move tanks? Let's just fucking invade them in like September.
Yeah, I bet the
hope it works out.
I bet the Russians won't be that good at fighting a war in the winter.
Yeah, bad idea. All right, bad idea. You got Jake and Billy are up. Will Zalatoris is, by the way, taking a penalty stroke.
But that's okay.
That's
because
okay.
Sepp is in the bunker.
So they're in. They're on the same. This will be the same shot that Sepp just took to the bunker. So if Willie Z can get on the green here, we got a chance. I like his strategy.
It's a good strategy.
Yeah. Okay. Bad idea number two for Team Jilly.
We're going to go with taking a dump without checking for toilet paper first.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah. Really bad idea. I've once used a coffee filter.
Mm-hmm. I've used my underwear before and just thrown the underwear out.
Yep. That's definitely happened.
Magazine pages.
Yep.
Back in the day.
Just putting your butt in the sink.
I've never done that one.
I haven't either.
I have on multiple occasions taken a shower right after.
Right, but I could see people having to put their butt in the sink.
Yep.
Okay.
Willie Z with his approach shot.
He doesn't like it. Oh, he loves it.
I love it.
He
loves
it.
There we go,
Willie. He doesn't like it. He loves it.
So that's for the win for Willie Z.
Okay, next pick. No, not... Whoa, Batgirl, the snake draft, foul.
If you go out of order,
he's still a rookie. This is me.
If you go out of order, you lose a turn.
Batgirl.
I never said that I was going to make a pick. I was just chiming in.
Oh, you're kind of fucked up. You guys did the Wuhan lab with your name and everything? Like, I didn't even think about that at the time, but that is kind of fucked up.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll wear that.
All right, here we go. Team Jilly.
Staying out too late on a work night.
Yeah, yeah, we had that on our list. Uh-huh. Entertaining clients on a Wednesday night was actually the specific bad idea.
Now, is it staying out too late that was the issue? It was just a simple matter of the clock?
okay. PFT, I think we do our hyper-specific one.
Yeah.
The football one?
Yeah, let's do that one.
Why don't you do it?
Okay, so we had... kicking a field goal down 8 with 2 minutes left and the best quarterback of all time on the opposing team in the NFC Championship game.
Yes.
That would be a bad idea.
Bad idea. Really bad idea.
Mathematically and spiritually also. Yes. Just bad vibes from that decision.
And I actually had, after the Nathaniel Hackett interview on Friday, Matt LaFleur did text me and was like, you guys are just never going to let that go. I was like, never, ever.
I mean, it's a pretty bad choice. Here's how bad the choice was.
I was like, my goal is to never, ever let that go.
Here's how bad the choice was. It's my go-to when I think of coaching mistakes, and it's so bad that it got Big Cat to finally forget about Dan Quinn's field goal.
Yes, that's true. That's a good point. Okay, Batgirl, you guys are up. This is a good Mount Rushmore. I like this Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, I'm still going to say I'm really confused about this snake draft, and I don't understand how I'm up.
That's
right
fine.
Now,
how?
Have you ever played fantasy football? Yeah, I don't know. This I'm just being
okay. Real quick,
ridiculous.
I'm going to show you. Ready? Yeah. They went. We went. You went. You went again. We went. They went. They went again.
Right.
And we went.
Right. Okay.
So you,
right, I'm
for
back.
The win.
I'm back. Yeah. I'm back. I'm back
for the win.
Back.
Yes, bogey.
He did it.
We
did
love it.
Willie Z.
Yes, Willie
Z.
Incredible.
Oh, man, I love this guy so much.
It's kind of weird with three people for the snake draft. I get what you're talking about.
All right,
thank
you.
Yeah.
I fucking love this guy so much. Okay.
All right, so here we go.
I've lost so much money betting on him, and I'm even now for life.
He tried very hard to lose this.
Yes. Sepp tried even harder.
Oh, he's crying.
Yeah, of course, dude. First win. Fucking love this guy. All right.
All right. Here we go. Late night drunk text your ex is our third one.
Very bad idea. Very bad idea. Good call.
And we're going to follow it up with drinking as well and the very late night shot round for the team.
Yeah, we had that too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Oh, and then Billy just texted the group chat. Billy just texted his pick to the group chat live. So do we take Billy's?
Wait, no, I meant to text that to Jake.
Yeah, no shit. So to be fair, Billy, we had some similar ones as you had.
Well, let's just say it, because then he can't say it.
Yeah, so I thought about doing not pulling out. Or
we won't do that.
Doing, like, just the tip. Let's not have sex. Let's just... You just put the tip in, see how it feels.
Okay. PFT, what do we want our last one to be? I think actually the G3 one is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
All right. Godfather 3. Really bad idea.
Bad idea. Shouldn't have done it.
The perfect two movies, probably one of the only times that the second is better than the first. And then they're like, let's fucking roll the dice and go again.
Yeah.
Number three.
They're going to do that with Top Gun, too.
Terrible idea.
I'm sure of it. But Godfather 3, awful movie. So much so that people just don't acknowledge that it exists.
People don't watch it.
Sometimes I wonder, like, would Godfather 3 be that bad if Godfathers 1 and 2 were just, like, mid?
Yeah. But they got better.
Yeah.
Godfather 2 got better than 1, and 1 was already in a masterpiece. So, yeah.
I would love to watch a documentary about Godfather 3. At what point did they realize as they're filming it, like, hey, this is going to suck.
Yeah.
But we have to put it out.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Next up, you guys finish us off.
Hey, speaking of finishing us off.
Yeah.
Don't pull out.
Don't pull out.
We can still pick that, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, we kind of just.
Do you like it?
Kind of took it up.
Do you like it?
Really took the wind out of your sails. Yeah.
What do you got? Got anything else?
I have a decent one.
Wait, let me see it.
I'm so happy for Will Zalatoris.
No. Yeah, not pulling out.
Not pulling out.
Wow, I didn't see that coming.
So wait, you're saying that pulling out is a good strategy. It's just if you execute it improperly.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, got it. So wait, yeah. Hold on. Is it... pulling out too late or not?
No, he's
pulling
saying
out in general.
He's saying not pulling out when you were supposed to pull out.
You're against cream pies.
Is that the sound it makes? The deviated septum.
Billy football anti cream pie. put it on a quote card.
I think we have a shot here.
Oh yeah, that was a good Mount Rushmore.
Feel good about this one.
I think that team Batgirl, the Wuhan was that one's gonna. People are going to be very excited to vote for that one.
That's a good one.
It really
hurt
everyone.
We also had Prohibition. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck thought Prohibition was a good idea?
Yep.
They just said, okay, nobody's allowed to drink anymore cold turkey.
Yeah. I also had Investing in Beanie Babies. That was a really bad idea.
Yeah.
There's a documentary that I watched where it's just so funny. All the people who like were like, my entire life savings is in Beanie Babies. Yeah,
but an all-time funny meme where they're in court.
Yes.
And they're divvying up the Beanie Babies as part of the divorce. I had Everything That Sandler Does in Uncut Gems.
Yep.
It's just like, why are you doing this? The entire movie.
Yeah. We made a lot of good ideas, too.
Betting
like,
on
I'm
sports
actually
is say,
like,
good
that
idea.
Was actually, he did win that parlay at the end.
This is how I
that
win.
That was correct. A hyper-specific one for our good friend Tom Segura, trying to dunk when you're overweight in your 40s. That's a pretty bad idea, just in general.
Woodstock 99 was a bad idea.
Yeah.
Anything that you do after you say the words, watch this, is generally a bad idea.
Yep. I had also strip club before 9 p.m. The guy was just like, let's go to the strip club really early. That's just a bad idea.
Yeah.
You can also make the case for like the same person who's like, let's go to the, let's drive to a casino before like 7 p.m. Not when you're in Vegas, because that's just.
You go there.
Yeah, you go there to gamble. But like being like, yeah, let's just go to the casino. Okay. Any others?
I really wanted to say drafting Jalen Reagor, but I thought that may have been too specific to myself.
I thought about that, too, and I was like, that's too Philly-centric. But I think he's the current one where you're like, you can name all the players that were drafted
instead
of him.
Passing on Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, we thought about doing that specific to you.
Yeah, that would have hurt. Although, kind of vindicated with the Deshaun Watson part.
True.
Listen, Ryan Pace being like, hey, Mitch Trubisky's got an old beat-up car. Like, he's a good guy. Turned out to be right. Mm-hmm. That part turned out to be right.
Eating greasy food before part of my take recording.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
what do you mean by greasy, Jake?
Or anything that could upset your stomach.
Yep.
What about saying a slur on a PLL broadcast?
That was a bad idea by you.
Yeah, but luckily they caught it out. They hit the dump button.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anything else?
What about maybe going to a small liberal arts college instead of going to Rutgers and playing quarterback?
Yeah, fuck yeah,
dude. Billy, you would have been so awesome at Rutgers.
Yeah, you would have been.
You would have ran that campus.
But I mean, it's actually
it's a good thing.
But it was a good thing because you're using your degree for this.
It was also kind of good because I like went to the college in the middle of the woods and I sort of was like,
you became a woodsman.
Yeah,
I was hidden.
They don't have any other ones like that. Wait, where were we on Grit Week?
the most camouflaged
college ever in Boulder.
Allow me to disappear for a while.
Yeah, that's true. If you were at Rutgers, you would have been on the radar a lot more. That's a fact.
Yeah. It would have been nice to go to your games though, dressed up as like your parents, wearing carnations on senior night. That would have been great.
The big pins.
Yeah, he stole that from us, Billy. That's okay.
True.
It's all right. That's the show. Let's do numbers. Shout out Willie Z. He fucking did it. He finally did it.
Give me 33.
I'll go with what was Willie Z's final score? Can someone find that?
16 under, right? Well, they were
no for today's round.
Oh,
today's.
I think
round.
He shot a 66.
He shot a 66. I'll go with 66.
26.
4 for memes.
69.
3 for memes.
56.
Fifty-eight.
Love you guys.
Dented, too. It's I think the first ever dented ball.
Can I do a quick recap? I had a who's back I was really excited about.
No, we haven't done that part of the show yet.
Oh, we haven't?
Yeah, no, okay. So you're good.
I'm really sorry, guys.
Who's back, Billy? coming in over prepared, 40 minutes late.
I'm really sorry, guys.
Love you guys.
Love you guys.
Talking away, I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is another day to find you shying away. I'll be coming for your love, okay? Shying away. I'll be coming for your love, okay? Needless to say, I'm upset. It's so better to be safe than sorry. Say after me. It's so better to be safe than sorry. Think